Well, welcome to episode 2 of Just Because. This episode is Just Because iPad 2. In this episode, our good friend Rick Pete from Chicago is he's going to review the brand spanky, shiny new iPad 2 for us. So sit back, get your pen and paper ready to take notes, because Rick is the, well, he's the closest thing that we have to an expert. Now, I know Rick from a community of geeky sci-fi nuts just like me, and it's called Trex and Sci-Fi. Actually, Trex is a great podcast hosted by a guy named Rick Dosti, better known as Rico. Now, Rico covers all things sci-fi, mostly Star Trek, and he also hosts a message board community type thing where we all swap stories and ideas. Well, this is where I met Rick Pete, and quickly found out that he's got quite the addiction to all things tech. And in fact, Rick was a day one purchaser of the coolest gadget that Apple has to date, the iPad 2. Now, Rick, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came to love all things techie?
Let's see. I've been doing tech since high school, and that's a long time ago. I turned 50 last summer, so.
Well, happy belated birthday.
Thank you. So I've been hanging out in the tech world for quite a while. Let's see about myself. My name is Rick. I live in outside Chicago in a town called Crystal Lake. And I don't know. I work in IT. I'm a web developer and system architect at a pretty large company out here in the Chicagoland area. I've been doing that. Been doing tech programming-wise since 1980. So I'm well-versed in all that kind of programming goodness. I'm also a youth minister at my church and at my diocese, so I do a lot of stuff with that, and I'm married. I have a wonderful wife who I met in high school. That's a story all in, that's a podcast all by itself, and we have 3 kids. One's graduated, one's in college, and one's only 12.
Wow.
So I have 7 more years before we're kid free, and then we get to actually live life. So I've been doing tech, like I said, since the 80s, and really wasn't until maybe the last 15 years that I really kind of gotten gadget crazy. As you know, because of, you know, what you said earlier with regards to Trek and Sci-Fi, I'm a big Star Trek fan, I have a million books. I've got a million, you know, little gadgets here and there. From Trekdom. My basement's full of stuff. My wife would attest to that. And, you know, so I guess it was sort of a natural progression. Being Trek was very sci-fi, but also very science-oriented, that, you know, I liked, you know, checking out gadgets. And once they came out with the personal computer, I was hooked. You know, I was one of the first ones, I think, to buy one of the original IBM PCs green screen that, you know, Charlie Chapman was jumping around, or his lookalike was jumping around trying to sell. And I just never stopped there. So I'm pretty much a PC guy. I've used Macs in my office, but not really got into Macs personally. Most of my stuff around the house is all Windows stuff. But when the iPhone came out, I just thought that was the coolest thing. I waited a year to buy one, but I thought it was the coolest thing. So I bought, when the 3G came out, I bought it. And I had been using Windows Pocket PC type devices before then. And I was hooked once I got the iPhone and saw the things that it could do. There was no going back. And you know, I got my wife a 3G, then I got the 3GS, and then last year I was on a business trip and came back from the business trip, and one of my best friends had the iPad, the original iPad 1, And I had heard all the hype, and I kept saying, you know what? I'm not going to get that. I've got a netbook. What do I need an iPhone, an iPad for? I've got my iPhone. It just looks like a big iPhone, an iPad Touch. Why should I, or iPod Touch, why should I get this? So I got back to work, and he handed me his iPad. And in about a half an hour, I was calling the Apple store to see if they had any iPads in stock. And they did. So I left work with my friend. We drove 40 minutes to the closest Apple store, and I walked out with an iPad. And I fell in love with it. I think within a month, I sold my netbook to a guy two cubicles down because I no longer needed it because the iPad did everything that my netbook would do. And it's just gone on from there. And the only thing that I missed was that the iPad didn't have a camera.
Mm-hmm.
And I do a lot of Skype calls, either to talk to, you know, podcast folks like you and I, or to talk to my youth, you know, in my youth group. A lot of Skype stuff, my mom, relatives in California. So the fact that it didn't have a camera was really annoying. And the fact that you couldn't plug one in was very annoying. So when I heard about the iPad 2 having cameras and having a faster processor, I decided, yeah, I'm going to have to upgrade. So I did. I stood in line. My friend and I, who had the original iPad 1, he and I, we schemed for 2 weeks on how we were going to get this iPad 2 without standing in a line. I hate lines.
Oh, so,
I'm old. So do we.
You know, yeah. Who wants to stand in a line? The lines are for the young, you know? So we even contemplated getting, you know, like a 20 or something to stand in line for us and get our iPads for us. Then we figured we'd have to, like, buy him something. And then that, you know, so that we decided not to do that. But we went to, we called, I have a friend who works for Best Buy. I called him. I called people at Target. We went to Walmart. We went everywhere that they were possibly going to sell an iPad and found out that most of the outlet stores like Target and Walmart, they didn't sell the 3G models. They only sold the Wi-Fi models in the store. You could order the 3G models off their website, but they didn't keep any in the store. And I think this must have been an Apple strategic thing.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Best Buy sold the 3Gs, but that's because Best Buy was really the first store to ever sell an iPad. So I think their relationship with Apple was a little bit closer. But nothing worked. All of our umpteen plans all fell in our face. And so we ended up going to an Apple store. He went to one on Michigan Avenue, which I was not going to go down there because that would be nuts. And then I went to one in Oak Brook Mall, which is out in the suburbs. Of course, in Oak Brook Mall, you're staying outside. I mean, this is outside. It's 40 degrees out, you know, and there's like 400 people. And I was number 60. And so I'm there talking with a whole bunch of other geek guys. We're talking about stuff. My friend down in Michigan Avenue in Chicago, the Apple store there was handing out coffee, pastries, because that's where all the TV station cameras were.
Right.
Right. There were no TV cameras in Oak Brook. So we didn't get any of that coolness, you know. They didn't pamper us at all. But I waited there for 2.5 hours. And then when they let you in, they must have had 45 Apple employees outside the store.
Mm-hmm.
And when you came up, one of those store salespeople escorted you into the store. And prior to that, they had come by and passed out little white tickets for the thing you wanted. So I told them, you know, I want a 64 gig white 3G and a 16 gig black Wi-Fi only iPad. So they gave me these two slips of paper with those two items on it. And so when you go into a store, they just take those two, they take what you have. They take you to the back of the store. They pull the iPads out for you. They ask you what accessories you want. You tell them. They pull those. I was in and out of that store in like 3 or 4 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah, because that's all it was. They closed the store at 3 o'clock. revamped it just for the iPad release. They weren't selling anything other than iPads and accessories for iPads when they reopened at 5. And, I mean, like I said, because the line was ridiculous. One guy next to me, he got 2 cards for 2 iPads, and then later on decided he didn't need 2 iPads. He sold the little card, just a piece of cardboard that said iPad 64GB. He sold it for $50 to somebody else far down in the line.
Oh, my gosh.
Because after, I guess, you know, at some point they ran out of those, they ran out of the cards. So if you were too far in the line, you weren't going to get anything. So he sold it for $50. I mean, all they bought was a piece of paper that guaranteed that they would get the inventory.
Capitalism at its best.
Yeah. And he's a science teacher at a middle school. You know. And I asked him, what are you going to use your iPad for? He says, oh, dude, I'm a science teacher. I use it for my classes. You know, I use it to display stuff on my LCD projector when I'm using the overheads. I put all my lesson plans on there. I use it for a ton of stuff. And I said, oh, that's kind of cool. There was another guy next to me was an artist. He worked self-employed artist. And he uses it to bring the art. He does all digital art. And so he uses it to bring the art when he goes to display it for his customers. Instead of bringing his Mac around, he just brings the iPad and shows all of his artwork. And then he can make, you know, keynote presentations with the artwork and music in the background and all that kind of stuff, you know, as well as email and, you know, your standard stuff.
Right. That's pretty awesome. So that brings us to our topic for this episode, the iPad 2. So, Rick, why don't you give us your expert review on this cool device?
Sure. The iPad 2, or the iPad in general, I think, is a phenomenal device for people who are relatively mobile. If you're at your home all day long, you know, the iPad's great, but it really shines when you're not at home. And when you are going, if you travel a lot, if you're a salesperson, even if you're just a tech person, but you know, are moving from place to place, and you need to be able to be productive, you need to be able to bring things with you, it is a phenomenal device for that kind of purpose. I think people think of the iPad as an entertainment device, and certainly it is that. You know, you can install, there's thousands and thousands of games for the device. You can put all of your music on the device. You can put videos on the device. You can have podcasts like this one on your device. You know, you can have television shows on your device. You can stream video on your device. I mean, there's a lot of ways to use it for entertainment. But I use it probably more so for productivity than I do entertainment. You're going to say something?
Oh, no. Go ahead.
Oh. So, you know, and I think that's, for me, that's a major selling point. You know, I want something that can do pretty much everything that my Dell Latitude laptop can do. And for the most part, I would say 85% of what I would do on my laptop or on a desktop, I can do on my iPad. So it really is a very functional mobile computing platform to get the job done. You know, and for something that only weighs 1.35 pounds, you know, with a battery life, they say the battery life's 10 hours. I can go about 18 hours on one charge.
That is incredible.
So, you know, no laptop can beat that.
No.
So, you know, so for me, whether I'm on the train, whether I'm at my work office or I'm traveling to some other meeting place, it provides me the ability, the flexibility to be productive, to record what I have to record, to make notes, to actually conduct business, you know, even I have my friend who does a lot of marketing work, and he does business presentations and all that kind of stuff, all on one device. So to that extent, it's as close as I think to date we have gotten to the Star Trek concept of the pad, you know, that they walk around with on the ship that does, you know, a million calculations a second, can do, you know, physics calculations and calculate warp speeds, all that kind of cool stuff. This is as pretty much close as we've gotten so far to a tool that's truly handheld, It doesn't cramp. You know, you don't get carpal tunnel holding it. It does it all. You know, and you know, the things that I use it for, you know, I kind of break things down into categories. There's the whole social aspect between using it for Facebook, Skype, FaceTime, which is now available with the iPad 2. You can do FaceTime, which is Apple's video conferencing solution. You could use it for Twitter. You can use it for instant messaging. You can use it. There's a tool that I just found out about from the Treks and Sci-Fi podcast a couple of weeks ago called Heytel, which is a push-to-talk application for the iPad, for the iPhone, and for the iPod Touch, that you can basically have your friends in there. You highlight a friend, you push a button, and you talk. And it immediately sends that to the other person's device over Wi-Fi or over 3G or 4G. And they get, if they're actually using the program, they get it right then. If they don't have the program running, it saves it as like a voicemail message. So when they run the program, they see all their messages. So it's a real instant way to speak to people without necessarily using your phone minutes. And it's, if all you have to say is a quick 30-second thing, boom, it's a perfect tool for that.
Yeah, that's really awesome. So can you tell us some of the technical specs on the iPad 2?
I sure can. The iPad 2, what's different between the iPad 2 and the original iPad are, one, it's 33% thinner than the original iPad. In fact, it's thinner than the iPhone 4. It's only 0.34 inches thick.
Holy cow.
You know, it's only, like I said, 1.35 pounds, which is 15% lighter than the original iPad. The dimensions are pretty much the same as the original iPad. The key things for me is that the iPad 2 has a front-facing camera, you know, for use for video conferencing like Skype or FaceTime or what have you, and it has a rear camera for taking photos and video. So it'll do 720p video, you know, HD video. It will also, you can do video from the front camera, but that's only a VGA resolution, so it's not the best video, but it's good for video conferencing purposes.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but just real quick, have you used the rear camera, and is it easy to hold the iPad steady so that you can get a good picture or a good video?
Yes, in fact, I have. I used it last weekend, actually. I was doing sound design for my son's middle school musical, Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat, and I was doing a lot of stuff overnight. We're setting up lights and wiring and everything, and the two directors were there, and we were having such a good time. I whipped out the iPad 2 and started recording, and it actually isn't bad. If you think about your standard video camera with a screen that's about, what, 3.5 inches, and you're watching your video through there, you have no idea even if you're in focus, right? Now, I've got a 10.1 inch display, so I hold it with both hands, and I have no problems, you know, panning left and right, up and down, you know. Now, if your hands shake, you know, that's going to transfer into your camera, you know, your video.
Right.
But if you're a relatively steady hand, it's great. Not only was I videotaping stuff, I was walking around videotaping stuff, you know, and it worked great. So, there's a video on my YouTube channel. My last Saturday night, our water heater bit the dust after 20 years and started leaking. And on Monday night, when we got it replaced, the guy who helped me put it in place couldn't solder it properly, the water intake, so that it was leaking water out of the intake nozzle area. So I had to come up with a MacGyver solution to deal with that until we can get another plumber to come in with a better torch to seal it. And I thought I was so pleased with myself. I took the iPad and I videotaped what I did with a little 1.5 minute, you know, videotape narration of, this is how I fix this, and look at this, and isn't this cool? So if you go to my Facebook or to my YouTube channel, you can see what that video looks like.
Very neat. Now, how does the hardware compare with the original iPad?
There are a couple of definite improvements. I think the biggest improvement is the fact that there's a new CPU chip in the iPad 2. It's called the A5 chip. It's a dual-core CPU that runs at 1 gigahertz speed. And all that really means is, if you consider a core like an old-style computer chip that can do X amount of processes, instructions per second. If you have dual core chip, that means you have two cores. It's like having two CPUs doing the same work. So you're getting twice the throughput, twice the speed.
Mm-hmm.
So the A5 is twice as fast as the old chip that was in the old iPad. And you can really see the difference in terms of how fast the programs start up when you click on one. The kind of work that they can do, especially with video. There's no artifacting. There's no, jumping around on this device at all. It is just perfectly clear 30 frames per second video.
Wow.
And things like that I do for my job, like remote desktop, being able to control another computer in a different location, I can do that from my iPad now. I don't have to do that from my laptop. I can use my iPad, which is what I did yesterday, use my iPad to connect to my mother's computer in D.C. and fixed all of her little technical issues while I was laying on my couch watching with my son. We were watching Star Wars Clone Wars, and I'm working on my mom's computer from my iPad.
Sci-fi lives.
Oh, I'm telling you. It was the best thing ever.
I understand that they upgraded the graphics display on the iPad 2. What do you know about that?
I do enjoy a few gaming sessions, as it were. and the GPU, the graphics processing unit, is a totally new device. It operates at a much faster capacity, which basically means that the graphics on the device can be much more detailed. So between the iPad and the iPad 2, if you're running a game, you could see the detail of your world. So say you run a game that, like you can't do this on the iPad, but for granted, say you were running WoW, you would be able, or City of Heroes or something like that, you would be able to see much more of the shadowing and the details of the people's costume, what they're wearing, what the street looks like. If the street was cobblestone, you could really see the cobblestone and the nooks and crannies and the divots in the rock. The way the water moves is much more realistic. The skyscapes are amazing. So when the experience, the gaming experience of being immersed in that world, if you will, is so much more vibrant. And again, panning and moving around in that world is not jumpy. It's very smooth. It's very smooth. So you get the kind of display that you would expect if you were running a game on a desktop PC that had, a pretty decent video card. You're going to get that, a similar kind of experience on the iPad. So a lot of these gaming companies who have games out for the iPad are now improving their games to give you a much better graphic experience because the graphic chip that's in the iPad 2 can support that kind of detail.
Okay.
So that's good. And then and between that and the faster CPU, gaming is tremendously improved. The other thing they've added in the iPad 2 is a 3-axis gyroscope, which means as you're tilting the iPad up and down, back and forth, there's a gyroscope that's tracking the orientation of the iPad at any given moment. So in the game, if you tilt, the game tilts.
Oh.
So if you want to look down and you tilt your iPad down, your character is going to look down at that same angle of descent, if you will, or the same angle up as you're holding your device. So I think if you're going to play a bowling game and you want to put spin on the ball, you can do that now because of that three-axis gyro that's in the device.
Very cool.
Yes. Do you have a favorite app or apps for the iPad 2?
Oh, my. Favorite apps? I have so many apps on my iPad. I think I've got, I must have 60-something apps on here. Easy. Probably more than that. Favorite apps? It would have to be based upon the type of use. Clearly, Skype and Facebook, from a social perspective, and my Usfora, I'm not sure how you pronounce it, are my favorite apps for, you know, Facebook, Skype, and Twitter. From a news perspective, there's a new app that just got released a couple of weeks ago called The Daily. And it's a digital newspaper that was written, that was built specifically for the iPad. And that's great. I love that app. So I use that in the morning when I want to see what's going on in the world. That's the app I use first. In addition to that, AUSA has a very good newspaper app that's free. The Associated Press has an app for all of their postings off the AP. And all this stuff gets updated all throughout the day, so you can stay updated with things. Another app I use a lot is called Zinio, which is a magazine application. And you run that app, and they have relationships with all these magazine publishers so that you can get the digital version of all these magazines right on your iPad from the one app. So whether you want to get Star Trek magazine or Popular Photography or the National Geographic, I mean, they have, or Maxim or whatever, they have just probably a couple hundred magazines you can all subscribe to and get the, and the digital subscriptions are far cheaper than the printed ones, but you get more content because you get more photos. Anything that refers to a website or anything like that, the links are active. So you click on it, it'll fire up Safari and take you to that webpage. Much more interactive. Yes. So I like that.
Yep.
Office automation. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, we're astronomy buffs. Do you know if they have any good astronomy apps?
They do. The app that I use the most, that I just started using actually, is one called Starwalk. And Starwalk basically lets you see the constellations and other orbital objects, including the International Space Station, from your iPad as if there wasn't a cloud in the sky. So you can sit in your house, fire this app up, and wherever you face the iPad, it shows you what that sky looks like from that vantage point. You know, I shouldn't say the sky, what space looks like from the Earth from that vantage point. So I can point it up, and it'll tell me what constellations I can see. If I were looking in that direction, these are the constellations that you can see. And it outlines them for you, and it names them. And then you can click, and it'll give you information about this, you know, whatever stellar objects you're looking at. You can see what planets are around, what key star systems are around. You know, if there was a comet coming by at that time, it would tell you what the name of that comet was. Or if the space station is there, it'll be on the screen. And literally, you can kind of just turn around and do a 360 and see the whole sky as if it were nighttime and you wanted to see what was out there. And the cool thing is, I did this the other day. I pointed it straight down to the ground. And it basically, I don't know enough about the world to know what is right below me on the other side of the planet. But whatever it is, I'm looking at what they see in their sky.
That is awesome.
Now, so it's great.
How much does this app cost? I mean, what do you think the average cost of these awesome apps are?
To be honest, the average cost of an app, I mean, there are thousands and thousands of apps that are free. And a lot of the apps that I have are free. So I'm going to discount those because that'll ruin the average. But I would say the average cost of an app is about $2.
Wow.
Most apps, I mean, there are a ton of apps that are only 99 cents. Tons. And so you go from 99 to 199 to 299 to 399. And usually, I mean, I have some apps that cost $5 to $10. I have about four apps that actually cost $20. But when you think about the cost of buying something like this at Best Buy to install on your laptop, even a $20, I have two $20 apps. One of them is basically a word processing Microsoft Office clone. It's called Office Connect, and it can allow you to create and edit Word documents, Excel spreadsheets, and PowerPoint presentations. And that was like, I think it was $24.99, but I bought it on, they were having a sale, and I think I got it for like $15. The other $20 app I have is a DJ app, because I do a lot of DJing, and it allows me to mix songs, you know, like if I had a mixer. So, and I mean, I have a mixer, but now I'm thinking I might just use my iPad, you know, especially for things like for, you know, church dances and stuff like that. I don't need to bring out all my equipment.
Right.
But yeah, you know, so I would say from an app perspective, from a cost perspective, you could get a lot of capability at a much cheaper price compared to what you might do, you know, buying something online that comes off of a CD or even a digital download, you know, for a PC or a Mac. They're infinitely less expensive. And for the most part, I think you get the value you're looking for.
Good.
You know, I mean, this Starwalk app that we were just talking about, it was $5.
That's pretty good price for that. So, Rick, overall, how would you rate the iPad 2? Does it live up to the hype?
I think it does. There's some things it doesn't do. You can't watch, if you go to a website that uses a lot of flash, that website won't render because Steve Jobs decided that flash is too buggy, unstable, and source hoggish to put on his iPads or iPhones for that matter.
Right.
So I don't agree with that, but, you know, that's something I'm willing to live with. You know, at this point, most websites, because of the proliferation of iPads, iPod Touches, and iPhones, now most of those sites have an option to go to the non-flash version of my site.
Right.
But, you know, other than that, there's so much I can do with it. I feel that it is a worthwhile investment. If you are sitting by at your desk or at your home all the time, where you're sitting at your laptop anyway, no big deal. If you need to have a decent computing platform with you when you leave the door, I think right now the iPad 2 is the best thing out there. I know the Zoom's coming out, and you know, I think BlackBerry is coming out with their Playbook, I think it is, and you know, they're starting to come out with some competition. But when you really compare the competition, the only thing usually that they can do that the iPad 2 can't do is flash, as far as websites go. Most other things that use flash, the people who do that usually write an app. So, for example, I can watch Hulu on my iPad with a Hulu Plus app. I couldn't go to Hulu.com, but if I use their app, I can do it.
Right.
You know, ABC has an app. I can watch all their video that's on their website on my iPad. PBS, I can do that. You know, I mean, there's tons of stuff. WGN has an app. NPR has an app. CNN has an app. They all allow their videos that they put on their websites to be visible through their apps. You know, YouTube, there's an app for YouTube. So you can consume YouTube till you're blue in the face.
Which would explain the color of my skin right now.
So when you look at all the things that it can do, I'm telling you, it is well worth the investment. And you can make that investment and I'll say this with tongue firmly in cheek, you know, for as little as $499. $499 could buy you an average laptop, you know, but then you're going to have 3 to 4 hours of battery life and, you know, and live with all the limitations, not to mention it'll probably weigh 4 pounds or more. Right. Or I can carry this thing that I can, you know, balance on my palm. You know, it's the right size to fit in an actual portfolio case. It could fit in, you know, Joyce's purse. I mean, it's just so portable. And it just amazes me that as portable and lightweight as this thing is, the amount of functionality you can pull out of this because of the wealth of applications that are being built to take advantage of what this iPad can do.
Plus, they're just so darn cool looking.
Well, there's that. You know, see, I'm trying to give a non-fanboy review, but I'm sure it sounds like I'm a fanboy.
Oh, that's fine. You know, this is an open forum for fanboys alike.
Okay, then I'm good. Now, I will tell you one thing. One of the other things that the iPad doesn't have, which I wish it did, is a port, a USB port. So I can plug in like an external hard drive or a flash, you know, flash card or something like that. It does not have that. And that I was really hoping would exist.
Don't they have a cable that you can adapt?
Well, what they have, they don't really have that. What they have is what they call the camera connection kit.
Right.
And that allows you to plug a digital camera right into your iPad and then access the video or the images that you might have on that camera. Mm-hmm. So, for example, last summer on my 50th, my wife and my son and I went to Vegas, and we went to the big Star Trek convention in Vegas. And that was sort of our birthday present. And my wife is 3 days older than I am, so we kind of did a joint birthday out there, and we had a good time. All I brought was my iPhone, my iPad, and my digital SLR, and I was able to do everything I needed to do with just those three things.
That's awesome.
You know, and so you plug it. It's a little. It looks like a little adapter that plugs into a little dock port on the bottom of the iPad, and on the other side is a USB port. So you take your little cable that plugs into your camera, you plug it into the USB port there, and then in the iPhone, it brings up the little photo app, and it has a little tab for camera. You click on it, and it shows you all the pictures that you took. You can look at them. You can delete them. The most important thing is you can copy them to the iPad and then do whatever you want with them. You know, use iPad apps to edit them. You know, there are apps on the iPad that are very similar to what you can do with Photoshop. You know, so you can adjust your photos and deal with gradients and rotating and cutting and cropping and all that kind of cool stuff. You can do all that with your photos on the iPad and upload them to wherever with FTP or however you want to manage your photos. So you can do that. And it'll recognize almost any device. The restriction is it has to have a folder called DCIM because that's sort of the photographic standard for where you put photos.
Right.
So if you have, you can probably plug in a big, humongous hard drive, and if it had a DCIM folder at the root and you had 2 million photos in it, it would see it. I'm kind of hoping that they would have expanded that ability to see Word documents and anything else you might put on there. But right now, it only recognizes images and video. But what I do to combat that issue, I'm an internet guy and I'm a mobile guy. So what do? I use the cloud. I love all those commercials, like the couple that's in the airport and they're talking about the flights delayed, and the guy's like, "We're going to the cloud."
To the cloud.
And the laptop shows up and they're watching TV on their laptop. You could do that with the iPad. So there's a whole bunch of services. Mobile Me is one from Apple, which the rumor is next month they're going to announce that it's going to be free.
Oh, I just paid for the freaking thing.
I know. I'm assuming they're going to cut you a break on that.
I certainly hope so. Give me a free iPad. That would work.
Yeah, well, sure. I'll do that. So that's going to be available, but the one that I use is called Box.net. It's a website, www.box.net, and for free, you can upload any kind of document up to their servers, and you can create folders and put everything in organized folders. And I think for like $20 a year or something, you can buy, you know, a lot more space for your storage. And then you can access your box.net from your iPad. So I have my Word applications and my Excel applications and lots of applications that need to get to files. Most of them understand how to get to the cloud. And so whether you're using Box.net or there's another service called Dropbox, they all know how to go out there and manipulate the files that are out on the internet. So I use that. If somebody wants to send me a file, I'll have them drop it on my Box.net account, and then I can get it from there. And I can actually grant people permissions to my Dropbox, to my BoxNet account, whether it's read-only or read-write, and to which folders they have access to, so that I can use that sort of as a collaboration point. Okay, the file's out there. You go take a look at it, make your changes. Someone else take a look at it, make their changes. I can make my changes, and all the stuff is on the cloud. Mm-hmm. So that's sort of the way I think mobile computing is has to go, you know, in the future anyway. So I think that's a pretty viable solution to not having the USB port where you can plug in an external drive or a flash card. You know, or they can email the files to you and you can save them, you know, pull the email out and then basically the equivalent of right click and save those down to your device that way. Okay. So that's how I do like PDFs and lots of other things on my device. But yeah, it comes with a lot of accessories. I mean, I'm sure you've heard of the smart cover.
Yes, we have.
And so I did get one of those just to protect the screen in the short term until the 25 vendors who all are announcing cases next month for the iPad 2 come out and I get to pick what I want.
Yeah.
So it is kind of cool. I mean, it does. The magnets are pretty strong. They'll hold the thing in place. When it's closed over the screen, it turns off the iPad, so it conserves your battery whenever that's closed. And then when you open it up, the iPad automatically turns back on. Mm-hmm. And it's an instant on device. There's no booting or anything like that. It's on immediately. It's off immediately. There's a way to manually turn it off, like all the way off, in which case then it would have to boot. But usually you don't do that.
Right. I can see Joyce waiting for the coach version of the iPad cover.
Well, you know, have you ever heard of the store Brookstone?
Oh, yeah.
Well, they had their own version of an iPad case, so they're going to be coming out with their iPad 2 cases soon. It's not Coach, but it's good, you know, it's good.
Yeah.
So
Joy says, if it ain't Coach, it ain't nothing.
Yeah, I know all about Coach, definitely.
Yes.
But there are also other accessories that are very useful. I have a Bluetooth keyboard that will connect to the iPad. So if I'm, you know, I'm very comfortable using the virtual keyboard on the screen. But if I'm going to be typing a 10-page document, I would prefer to use a real keyboard. And so I have a Bluetooth keyboard that I use. It's an Apple Bluetooth keyboard, but any Bluetooth keyboard will pretty much work with it. You can get a Bluetooth mouse for it if you want to use a mouse instead of touching the screen.
Yeah, that's something that I didn't know. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. I have a Logitech Bluetooth speaker that I can connect with it. So that way I can listen to my music off of a big speaker instead of just a speaker built into the device. And that's kind of cool if you want to play a YouTube video or a presentation or something and you want a little more volume. And there are Bluetooth headsets that you can use that allow you to use Skype with it and use a Bluetooth headset for your microphone if you prefer to do that. Or you just prefer to have a private conversation over Facebook or not Facebook, over
FaceTime.
FaceTime or Skype. So you can get those. Some cases have built-in Bluetooth keyboards. I have one of those for my old iPad, and that's pretty nice. It adds a little bit of bulk to the whole thing, but it kind of protects the iPad better, too. You can get this new adapter. It's their digital AV adapter because the new iPad 2 supports HDMI, another very cool thing. So now you can watch HD videos on your iPad, and if you want to plug your iPad into your HD television, you do that with the little HDMI connector. And then you get full 1080p display video, and you get 5.1 surround sound audio.
Holy cow.
So now, you know, that just ratchets your entertainment value on the iPad 2 that much greater. If you don't have HDMI, you know, TVs, whatever, they have component video connectors for the iPad. They have, which are like the RGB. They also have composite video and audio cables for the iPad. They have a VGA adapter for the iPad, which allows me to plug my iPad into like an LCD projector and do, you know, PowerPoint presentations or whatever up on a big screen. So, again, depending upon what you're using the iPad for, there are lots of different, you know, adapters and things you can get to hook it to other devices to extend, you know, the capability.
Right.
And its usefulness.
Yeah. Well, thank you for joining us on this episode, sharing all your knowledge with us. And now it makes me really want to go out and buy one.
Yeah.
Well, you know, if you get one, let me know, because we'll definitely have to talk about apps.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. We'll have you back on to talk about apps. Now, let me ask you this. Would you be willing to come back for future Just Because shows? You know, maybe have you be our regular techie guy. What do you think?
I'd be happy to do that. You know, especially if there's some cool gadget I can talk about.
Yeah.
Always happy to talk about gadgets.
Oh, absolutely. Matter of fact, we could call your segment Just Because the Tech Dude. So is there
the gadget guy?
Yeah, tech guy. Yeah. So is there anything that you want to promote while you're here? I mean, do you have like a blog or something?
I do have a blog. I'm trying to be more deliberate about actually posting things to it. It's Rick Peet. That's RickPeete .blogspot.com. And it's sort of I call it random musings.
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessarily a tech blog. It's just sort of what's going on with me. So there might be stuff related to my ministry work or tech stuff or, you know, who knows what it could be. But that is out there. I do have a couple of iPad. I have an iPad 2 article out there from a couple of weeks ago. I think it's called iPad 2, What's the Big Deal? And then I have another one I put out in January that's sort of a iPad killer app article. I'll be trying to put stuff out there at least once a week, maybe twice, or maybe once every 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely go there. I'm on Facebook. RPete, I think, is my Facebook name out there. I try to put stuff out there that seems relevant and interesting. A lot of times somebody will ask me a question that might generate a posting. And maybe that'll help. You know, you can help give me ideas too, and be happy to come back and talk with you guys about cool tech stuff.
That's great. We appreciate it. Well, thanks for joining us for Just Because iPad 2. Now, if you have an idea for a future episode, drop us a line at al-blueocean@cox.net. Now that's BLU ocean. We got really fancy with that. We'd love to hear from you.
This podcast, copyright 2011 by Blue Ocean Production. All rights reserved. The iPad is property of Apple Incorporated.
So don't try to steal the idea.